Blog Talk Radio.
To the Sower. I'm your host for tonight's Bible study, the very Reverend Dr. Andrew Patrick. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you ever have one of those days when you try so hard, but everything just seems to keep going away from you? Not away, away from you. We all have those days. And they are part of the trials and tribulations that we go through as the chosen ones of God. We have to make ourselves worthy. And during these times when things don't quite go the way that we'd like them to, and we put faith and trust in other people sometimes, you know what I mean? Kind of like a duck on a rainy day. Let it roll right off of you. So if you've had one of those days, either today, along with me, or at another point in time, then be sure to lift each other up in prayer to help keep one's sanity just a little bit longer. Well, with all that said, today we are doing Ephesians chapter 1, and this is actually a take two, so to speak. It was for the Studio B of the Mustard Seed, but we had fire alarms go off in our building here, and I had to cut the program short right at the reading. So we'll be going through that again, and then I will give you the discernment and the study on chapter 1 of Ephesians. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab them now, open up to it. If you have a New King James Version, that's great. That's the one we use here. And if not, then follow along the best that you can. With that said, I'd like us to remember in prayer Cardinal Paul Roberts. He had a severe stroke and his speech has been affected and he can't talk. So we ask the Lord to break the silence and restore him, as we ask God to restore Suffragan Bishop Ian Gaylard, who is dealing with several severe illnesses all at once and deformities. We also ask that you lift up Episcopos Gary Taylor. He is another one that is dealing with a severe illness. And when I say severe, ladies and gentlemen, I mean life-threatening. So you can fill in the dots where you may want to. I also ask you to pray for Jeffrey Chad Leach, one of our canons for the Catholic Church. He is also doing some wonderful work and assisting Suffragan Bishop Ian Gaylard. So he also is dealing with physical ailments, He too deals with migraines, along with Abbess Bishop Sherry Mercier, and lift up her husband, First Lieutenant Mark Mercier. And he is also dealing with illnesses and things that start to happen to us when we get older. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're not as young as we used to be, but we are still young in heart and still dedicated to do what we can for our Lord, just as you should be. And we hope that we are good examples for you in that. I ask you to pray for me. As you know that I am dealing with a cerebral aneurysm in my brain and going under testing, along with a number of other things going on with my body. Satan will use every tool he possibly can to keep us off mark, and he's not going to do it today, nor tomorrow, if I can do anything about it. So with your prayers and with your courage and with your spiritual strength, we can conquer all things. Why? Because we do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So with that said, let us begin with our prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in the words that our Savior gave us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Ephesians, in chapter 1, we have some good news. Yes, we have good news coming out of the scriptures today. And some discernment for you. Something for you to gnaw on a little bit in your spiritual growth and wrestle with and hopefully overcome and do as our Lord wants and as the Apostle Paul suggests in many aspects with the knowledge and wisdom and the discernment that he gives of our Father. That said, let us begin. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God your Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons of Jesus Christ, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us acceptable in the beloved. In him we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself, that in the disposition of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Verse 13. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, praise of his glory. Verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention to you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, did you really hear what Paul was saying? He is praising you as I praise you. I praise you every single day in my prayers. And I ask that the Father give you the discernment and the wisdom to know his word and to incorporate it into your lives on a daily basis, putting him first and foremost above all things. And I know that's really hard to do, ladies and gentlemen, especially when you have family and responsibilities of work and associates and friends and their issues that sometimes keep you by off guard. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is this understanding of the gospel which is discernment and wisdom. It is what Paul is praising God for. So my very first question to you is that in verses 3 and 4, where he talks about, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, doesn't that make you feel just a little bit special, full of God's eye? You are that precious child that he is talking about way over in verse 23 and 22, where he talks about bringing everything under his feet and gave him, meaning Christ, to be head over all things to the church. Yes, I even have a baseball cap that Brother Rosario gave me a few years ago that says, Jesus is my boss, and I wear it proudly, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. He is my boss, not just because I am part of the church, but but you are part of the church. And I'm not the boss, he is the boss. I'm just a servant, just as you are a servant. And it's when we humble ourselves before God in that majesty, knowing how special we are, isn't it worthy? And there's a key word, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Isn't it worthy to give praise to God? We thank Jesus. We thank the saints above. We thank the Blessed Mother. But do we thank God? Well, when we thank Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit over comforting us and overwhelming us to do that which we know is right, then we are giving thanks to God into one and one into three. Give you an example, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, of the Trinity. And no, you will never find the Holy Trinity, quote unquote, anywhere in the Bible. You will always see it in three parts, except, but including, when Christ says to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Three into one, one into three. St. Patrick, when he was here on earth and ministering, I'm sure he was a rather charismatic individual. I mean, he had a very hard life. He was actually enslaved to the people of Ireland, the pagan, the Druids, the kings, and they oppressed him. They gave him the scraps from their tables, but he survived, and one day he got away. But God put it into his heart to come back. Well, time, he learned about God. He learned about Jesus. He knew from growing up in England that God existed and that Christ was real and that his promises are real. And he had a dream one day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and that was to go back to Ireland and convert the pagans, the Druids, the royalty of the many, many tribes around Ireland. Many of those individuals could not understand the concept of three into one and one into three. Well, inspiration into Patrick's heart, probably as he was sitting there contemplating and praying, he looked down and he saw a three-leaf clover. And he marveled at that three-leaf clover. And he thought, how that is the epitome of the Holy Trinity. Three leaves, one stem. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One body, one stem. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what the Trinity truly is, into one. God, the Son, and their loving Spirit. So let's move on to verse 7 here. He says, we have redemption through his blood, meaning Christ's, the forgiveness of sins, that is, if you believe it. But yet, there's a catch, according to the riches of his grace. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, are you worthy? Are you trying not to sin every single day? That's what we talk about when we say God is the potter and we are the clay. Mold us and fashion us into the image that he wants. Well, that's what we're talking about here. But you have to be worthy. You can't just say, I've been baptized. I believe I'm going to heaven. I doubt it. I seriously doubt it, because what comes from your mouth comes from your heart. And what you do when you're wearing that crucifix or that Christian cross around your neck and you're doing something that is not very godly, well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I'm talking about. And that's what Christ is talking about and Paul is talking about, according to his good grace. In all wisdom and prudence, we abound. having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, not yours, not mine, but his, which he proposed in himself. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we need to strive for every single day. And as we go into the Christmas season, that is exactly what we should be celebrating and thanking God for, and celebrating for his coming into this earth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 3:16. In verse 10, he says, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. So that means even those that have passed away before us, ladies and gentlemen, if they are worthy, and God, Christ, feels compassion and grace upon them, then they will join him, and you will join him. Don't take it for granted. Your salvation is your greatest commodity, and you better start treating it as such. In verse 11, I'm going to say this succinctly as I can. It reads, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him, meaning God, Christ, who works all things according to the counsel of his will, his own will, not our will again, ladies and gentlemen. So here we have, also we have obtained an inheritance. Yes, we have obtained it when we say yes to Jesus. I love you. I believe you. I confess my sins. I break down because he doesn't care about blasphemous words. He doesn't care about fake promises, gently broken. He wants a broken and contrite heart. He wants you on bended knee in your prayer closet, Matthew 6:6. Discussing with him the error of your ways to make you righteous, as we go back into verse 4 and verse 3, where he's talking about being holy and without blame before him in love. In verse 12, we see, we who first trusted be to the praise of his glory. Ladies and gentlemen, when you accepted the covenant that God made with the tribes of Abraham, the 12 tribes of Israel, which we are all of one of those tribes. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have this promise. And from the very beginning in verse 4, where it says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Before you even knew you were going to be born, you were already chosen to walk with God and walk with Christ in your heart and to minister to others. In verse 14 and 15, we kind of yield them together because we see who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory, verse 14. Ladies and gentlemen, that's dealing with the time of Pentecost. But here at the same moment, it's something that we have to cherish every single day. Do you see how I mean it to be your greatest commodity, your salvation, your love for God, that it should come before all other things in your life? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, as we look into verse 18 and the latter part of 19, well, actually 15 through 19, but I want to focus in on 18 while we have a few moments here. It says, being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that is something that you can just really wrap yourself around this holiday. That is a big old ribbon and bow on your heart from God. And the sooner you recognize that and how fragile it is to lose that because of the world demanding and pushing and guiding you in other directions, you need to work daily, steadfastly. Yes, you're going to stumble. Yes, you're going to fall. Yes, you're going to be tempted. Yes, you're going to have trials and tribulations. Yes, you're going to be persecuted. Yes, you're going to be bullied. Yes, 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 but for the glory of God. That's where the power comes from within you, because He is in you. He is in your heart. You are in Him. Wherever two or more are gathered together, so is He. So think about that. That three leaf, that's three right there, plus you, that's four. Because without you, there would be no Holy Trinity. There would be no Jesus Christ. There would be no God the Father. There would be no Holy Spirit. Now, how does your world look when that reality sets in? In verse 20, 21, and 22, in the last couple of minutes here, I'm going to read these together again, and I'm going to make a very firm point of how special you truly are. And I want you to know how hard you have to work, because in here, but not in so many words, but in other words, the power that God, Christ, has over you is immense. And that's what we're going to find out. How much? Verse 20 starts off, which He worked in Christ. That means God worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Ladies and gentlemen, you can ask for that right seat to Christ, but there are a lot of good, godly people long before you waiting in line. And if you are that righteous and that unblemished by this world of the sinful natures and the iniquities that constantly tempt one's salvation, that still does not mean that you are righteous enough to sit with Christ, because you may not be humble enough. You may be righteous enough, but you may not be humble enough. In other words, your heart has not broken to that contrite. Verse 22, he says, and He put all things under His feet, meaning Christ. God put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head of all things to the church, which is His body and the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the Pope is a servant. Cardinals, bishops, lay ministers, priests, seminarians, parishioners, congregants, worshipers, glorifiers, we are all servants under His feet. You are no better than anyone else. You put your pants on one leg at a time, just like everyone else does. So remember this Christmas season, what is truly special about you and how much God loves you, and then work daily to give that back to Him, earning that inheritance that Paul talks about in Ephesians 1. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is the very Reverend Dr. Cardinal Andrew Patrick saying God bless, Merry Christmas, and read your Bibles. We'll talk to you next week here on The Sower. Ta-ta for now.